Previously on Thomas and the Bible, we conclude Lamentations with Jeremiah lamenting how bad the nation of Israel was and how he hoped God would bless them and make things all better. We start the book of Ezekiel with him seeing four mythical beasts with four faces, with each face like a different animal that can't turn with their wheels and wings, with God sat above them on a throne. God sends Ezekiel to preach to the Israelites. He gets lifted up by the Spirit and is forced to do God's command. But there were no drugs involved in this writing, honestly.
All right. Thank you, Harley, for that intro. We are on Ezekiel 4 through 9 today, 27 episodes away, including this one, from the new testicle, from my new testicle. I'm not doing a count to the New Testament. I'm doing it to my replacement testicle that I've needed for some time, but on the donor list. No, not really. Okay, so yeah, Ezekiel. I had a lot of people reply about the vengeance, you know, the Samuel L. Jackson thing. And I guess I was right. It was Ezekiel, but someone said it's not really Ezekiel, like it's misquoted. It's just kind of funny. I didn't know that. Someone sent me a kind of a long message about it, how it's maybe from some other movie, but misquoted. But anyway, I feel good that I at least remembered the book that it's supposedly from in the actual movie. So I'll have to keep on the lookout for any lines that sound anything like it. So we'll see. And then if maybe at the end of Ezekiel, I'll just play a clip of it just in case we didn't get our fill. Okay, so what are we doing? Because you're talking about what? You're talking about Ezekiel, a boring book that's the same as all the rest of the books. I've been doing some background research, and there's really not much to say. The Bible is not giving us much. I just find it hilarious. I found this vision absolutely hilarious, because it's like, if I tell you guys, like, hey, guys, I talked to God, I talked to like an all-powerful being, and he told me all this stuff, like, you need to give me all your money, blah, 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 like, make all these claims. People are like, dude, I don't believe you talked to God. That's the stupidest thing. Oh, yeah? Well, hold on. Did I tell you that in my vision, there was, and they're like, I don't care what was in your vision. It doesn't matter what. Well, hold on. In my vision, there was four animals, and they were standing like in a cube. And then, but they each had four heads, and they each had four wings, and they had a wing of, it was a friggin' like an eagle, and it was like a lion or something, and a human, and then a witch in a wardrobe, and they couldn't fly, well, they kind of hovered together, and then the guy's like, wait, you saw that? You saw four-headed, four? Well, shit, now I'll believe anything you say. If you said you saw this incredible four-headed, four-winged, you know, well, I guess 16-winged, like, collection of monsters, well, now you have me. Here's all my money. Take all my money. You should have said so. Why didn't you lead off with that? Well, you kind of did, I guess, in Ezekiel. But I just love the idea that somehow lends credibility to anything he's saying. It's like, yeah, if you're claiming you talk to God and you're also claiming anything else, it actually reduces the probability. It's like that old, there's an old statistics trick kind of where you ask people like, is this person more likely to be a teacher or more likely to be a teacher and a liberal? And a lot of people will answer yes to the second one. Like that's more likely, but by definition it can't be because it's two things instead of one. Because, you know, unless 100% of teachers were liberal, and even then it could only be the same amount of likelihood. It couldn't be more. So, it's kind of a little trick they do in those polls to see if there are any biases. Like it sort of shows biases, but anyway, it's like that. It's like, you said you saw God. Yes. Well, I don't really believe it. Well, would you believe me if I said I saw God and I saw a four-headed, four-winged monster? Well, now you're talking. Now I believe you. It's sort of like that. Anyway, Ezekiel 4. Let's hope there are many good visions to come. Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem, and lay siege against it, and build a fort against it. It cast a ma- Oh, wow, that did take long. That did not take long, guys, sorry. Cast a mount against it, set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged. And thou shalt lay siege against it, and this shall be a sign of the house of Israel. Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of thy house of Israel upon it, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee a day for each year. Therefore thou shalt set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thine arm shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. And behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another, till thou hast ended the days of thy siege. Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and fitches, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread thereof according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side. 390 days shalt thou eat thereof. Wow. And thy meat, which thou shalt eat by thy weight, 20 shekels a day, from time to time thou eat it. And thou shalt also drink water by measure, the sixth part of an hin, from time to time. Is this like recipes or just like a diet that they need to be on? And thou shalt eat it as barley cakes, and thou shalt bake it with dung. Nah, no thanks. Next food tip. God, I'm in and I don't really think I'm going to pass that one up. You know, it's like when you have some friend who's really picky about food. No offense to all you picky people about food, but seriously, stop it. It gets pretty old. But anyway, when you have that friend who's like really picky about food and they're like recommending something to you and they're like, yeah, it's great. It's like kale / nothing else. And it's kale. I'm just recommending kale. I was going to think of something, but it's actually just kale. I don't mind kale. I mean, I could go for it. It's fine, but you know, I'm not obsessed with it. And not every meal for me has to be like this perfect, pristine thing. Like we're fooling ourselves. We're really fooling ourselves. Or, unless you're gardening every meal yourself. And even then, I don't even think there's that much benefit to it. I think there's a lot of good things that happen in food processing. There's probably bad things too, of course. But I don't know that if you ate fresh from a farm every day that you're going to have superpowers all of a sudden. I think it'd probably be good for you. I'm not saying it's not good for you. I just, don't think it's a big deal. Anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and pass on your dung recommendation, God. That cometh out of man in their sight. Holy crap. And the Lord said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whither I will drive them. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, my soul hath not been polluted, for from my youth up even until now have I not eaten that which dieth of itself, or is torn in pieces, neither came their abominable flesh into my mouth. Then he said to me, Lo, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith. Oh, thanks. Okay, so instead of man poop, it's now cow poop to prepare your bread. So that's a big upgrade. That's very good. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight and with care, and they shall drink water by measurement and with astonishment, that they may want bread and water and be astonied one with another, and consume away their iniquity. And thou, son of man, oh, this is 5. Take thee a sharp knife, take thee a barber's razor, and cause it to pass upon thine head and upon thy beard. Then take thee balances to weigh and divide the hair. Thou shalt burn with a fire 1/3 in the midst of the city, when the days of the siege are fulfilled, and thou shalt take 1/3 and smite about it with a knife, and 1/3 thou shalt scatter in the wind, and I will draw out a sword after them. Thou shalt also take thereof a few in number, and bind them in thy skirts. Then take of them again and cast them into the midst of the fire and burn them. All right, I've stopped listening. If again, if this were me, I'd be like, God, sorry. Can you? Is this that important? I mean, so hold on. So I'm burning the fire, the third part of something of balances. No, of hair. I don't remember when the days of a siege are fulfilled. I do something. I know I do something. We don't have pen and paper. It currently technology wise, like we don't have a computer. I don't have a tape recorder. I don't know how I know all these things, but God, we don't have these. So I don't have a stenographer with me. Can you slow down? And is this really that important? If it is important, just tell, I'll try to listen this time. Okay. So say it again. So I'll take a third part of something and then smite it with a knife. Okay, sure. And a third part shalt thou scatter in the wind. All right. And I will draw a sword after them. Okay, I think I got most of that. I would really be terrible at this because there's a lot of instructions given to things that don't seem important to me. So it just in one ear, out the other. I wouldn't even. Let me know when something matters, God. Let me know when I'm not doing something to amuse you, or like fulfill your exact desire. Thou shalt also take thereof a few in number and bind them in thy skirts. Then take them again and cast them into the midst of the fire. This is getting really complicated. And burn them in the fire, and for thereof shall a fire come forth into all the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations and the countries that are round about her. Excuse me. And she hath changed my judgments into wickedness more than thy nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are round about her. For they have refused my judgments and my statutes. They have not walked in them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye multiplied more than the nations that are round about you, and have not walked in my statutes, walk a mile in my statutes, would you? Neither have kept my judgments, neither have done according to... So, let me translate for you guys. The Israelites have been bad. Oh, what do you know? Oh, plot twist, guys. Ooh, exciting plot twist. Let's see what happens now. Because you multiplied more than nations round about you and have not walked in my statutes, neither have kept my judgments, neither have done according to the judgments of the nations that are round about you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, am against thee and will execute judgments in the midst of thee, in the sight of the nations. And I will do in thee that which I have not done. I will not do any more of the like because of all thine abominations. Therefore, the fathers shall eat the sons in the midst of thee. Oh, okay. All right. Fathers, eat your sons. And the sons shall eat their father. Well, you can't have it both ways. You just can't, not even you. This is like one of those square circles. You can't have both the fathers eat the sons and the sons eat the fathers. It's not going to work. Okay. It's just, wait a minute. Hold on. No, it could work. Damn it. I just thought of a. Okay, every father has two sons, and so he eats one, and then the other son eats him. God damn, I just amazed myself. Okay, that's how it works. That's the most amazing thing I've ever read in this book. And I will execute judgments in thee, and the whole remnant... Well, what happens to daughters? They're just fine. Moms and daughters are like, that was weird that you just... Hey, honey, why are you eating our son? I don't know. I feel compelled to by the long run. And then the son's like, oh, okay. And then the other son's, oh, now I have to eat dad. No, I have to eat dad. No, no. And then the mother and daughter are just left there like, well, that was weird. That was weird, honey. Don't you think? Yes, I do. Okay. Well, we'll go on with our lives. No men, unless someone had three sons. What if someone had three sons? And back then they had a lot of sons. They had like 17. Every man had 17 sons, so maybe only one son and one dad are dead. I don't know. I'll have to investigate this further. Wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thy detestable things and with all thine abominations, therefore I will diminish thee, neither shall mine eyes spare, neither will I have any pity. A third part of thee shall die with the pestilence, and with the famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee. And the third part shall fall by the sword round about thee, and I will scatter a third part into all the winds. and I will draw out a sword after them. I would be rooting for the scattered into the winds one, because I feel like you could maybe get away with that. Like, he might, God might scatter you into the... So, I probably don't want the pestilence. I'm going to go ahead and say I don't want the sword, although at least you have a fighting chance, literally. I mean, like, if you get the pestilence, I mean, what can you do about pestilence? It's sort of... I mean, it's like, ugh, it's horrible. There's not really, you can't fight it, really. I mean, you could try, but like by the sword, at least maybe like get a shield, you know, get a, you know, a suit of armor. I don't know. I don't think they had that back then, but some sort of armor, you know, and maybe you have a chance, or just run away, just go climb a tree, and then you're likely not going to die by the sword. Or, but I bet people were really hoping, like, come on, not pestilence, not pestilence. And then if they got scattered into the winds, that seems like the best chance, because even God probably is going to forget where he put a couple of you. So that would be the best chance. Thus shall mine anger be accomplished, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be comforted. And they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it in my zeal when I have accomplished my fury in them. Moreover, I will make thee waste, and a reproach among the nations that are round about thee in the sight of all that pass by. So it shall be a reproach and a taunt, and instruction and astonishment unto the nations that are round about thee, when I shall execute judgments in thee in anger and in fury and furious rebukes. I, the Lord, have spoken it. When I shall send upon them from the evil arrows of famine, which shall be for their destruction, and which I will send to destroy you, and I will increase the famine upon you, and I will break your staff of bread. So I will send upon you famine and evil beasts, and they shall bereave thee, and pestilence and blood shall pass through thee, and I will bring the sword upon thee. I, the Lord, have spoken it. All right, we're on Ezekiel 6. We're only on 6. I have to read through friggin' Ezekiel 9. All right. Readjusting. Sorry. Water. We can do this, guys. We're going to do it together. We're going to get through it together. Ezekiel 6. I feel like I'm doing more work than you guys are, but we're doing it together. Hey, that's why I have that Patreon account, you know, because I got to do the heavy lifting here, and it's pretty awful. I'll be honest with you. There are days that I just don't think I'm going to make it. I don't think I'm going to make it through this awful book. I feel like I'm going to go insane and have to call somebody and seek therapy for what I've put myself through here. But you can help. Go to patreon.com/TNTheB and become a patron today, and you can help me get through this awful, awful book that no one should ever have inflicted upon me, but society has, damn it. They've inflicted it upon us. So help me out. Patreon.com/TNB. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them, and say, Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys. Behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places, and your altars shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols, and I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones round about your altars. In all your dwelling places the city shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate. Okay. And your idols may be broken and cease, and your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Yeah, that'll prove it. Oh, a bunch of guys died. Well, I guess that guy's the Lord. That's the only conclusion that I could reach. Apparently this dude is the Lord because people died. Yet I will leave a remnant that ye may have some that shall escape the sword among nations. Well, that's thoughtful. And when ye shall be scattered through the countries, and they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations whither they shall be carried captive, because I am broken with their whorish heart, which they hath departed from me, and with their eyes, which go a-whoring after their idols. And they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. and that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them. Thus saith the Lord God, smite with thine hand, and stamp with thy foot, and say, alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. He that is far off shall die of the pestilence, and he that is near shall fall by the sword. And he that remaineth and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus, so you just pick your death. It depends on the distance you are from here. Thus will I accomplish my fury upon them. Then shall ye know that I am the Lord, when their slain men shall be among their idols round about their altars. Upon every high hill, in all the tops of the mountains, and under every green tree, and every thick oak, and the place where they did offer sweet savor to all their idols. So I will stretch out my hand upon them, and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblath, in all their habitations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 7. God, it just, it doesn't want to end, does it? Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, also, another thing. You thought I was done. I'm not close. Thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God into the land of Israel, and the end is come upon the four corners of the land. Now is the end come upon thee, and I will send mine anger upon thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense thee upon thee all thine abominations. And mine eye shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense thy ways upon thee. And thine abomination shall be in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, an evil, only evil, behold, is come. An end is come, and I lost my spot. An end is come, and the end is come, and watcheth for thee. Behold, it is come. The morning is come unto thee, O thou that dwellest in the land. The time is come, the day of trouble is near, and not the sounding again of the mountains. Now I will shortly pour out my fury upon thee, and accomplish mine anger upon thee, and I will judge thee according to thy ways, and I will recompense thee for all thine abominations, and mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to thy ways, and thine abominations that are in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth. Behold, the day, behold, it is come. The morning is gone forth, the rod hath blossomed, pride hath budded. Violence is risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, nor of their multitude, nor of any of theirs. Neither shall there be wailing for them. No wailing for you. And not like wailing, not like WH, like just wailing. It would have been a positive message if he said no wailing. It could have been one of the first good messages in the Bible. You know, like, hey, you... It was Japanese people? Who's it who does all the wailing? It's one of those Asian countries. They think like whales do something for them or something. I don't know. Terrible. Whoever's killing all the whales, whoever it is, whatever culture it is, I make no judgments. Just stop killing whales. Anyway, for the time is come, the day draweth near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. For the seller shall not return to that which is sold, although they were yet alive, for the vision is touching the whole multitude thereof, which shall not return, neither shall any strengthen himself in the iniquity of his life. They have blown the trumpet, even to make all ready, but none goeth to battle, for my wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. The sword is without, and the pestilence and the famine within. He that is in the field shall die with the sword, and he that is in the city, famine and pestilence shall devour him. But they that escape of them shall escape, and shall be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning, every one for his iniquity. All hands shall be feeble, and all knees shall be weak as water. They shall also gird themselves with sackcloth. Didn't you already kill everyone? Why are you still going on? Isn't it enough that you killed everyone? Do you have to talk our ear off with all the crap you're going to do, like, to what, the four people who survived? Like, who... First off, who are you doing this to? I don't even know. I really don't. They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. As for the beauty of his ornament, he set it in majesty, but they made the images for their abominations and of their detestable things therein. Therefore, I set it far from them, and I will give it to the hands of the strangers for prey, and to the wicked of the earth for spoil, and they shall pollute it. My face will also turn from them, and they shall pollute my secret place. Oh, dear. For the robbers shall enter into it and defile it. Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. Wherefore I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess their houses. I will also make the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet. But the law shall perish from the priest, and the counsel from the ancients. The king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation. And the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled. I will do unto them after their way. According to their deserts will I judge them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. We're only on 8? Did I get the page numbers wrong? Hold on, let me double check something here. This seems a little excessive. Seems like it's never ending. 8, 9. Well, I guess 9's really short. So 395. Yeah, okay. No, we're right. Drink water. Here we go. We're going to do it. And it came to pass in the 6th year, in the 6th month, in the 5th day of the month. Is that important? No, not important. Will even the most devout Jew or Christian who's reading this, will any of them remember what day this happened? Does it matter? Could there be anything less relevant than the day of the month and the year and the month? No one cares. No one cares. Doesn't matter. The 5th day of the month, I sat in mine house as the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire and from his loins even upward. As he another vision, guys. And he put forth the arm of an hand and took me by the lock of mine head, and the spirit lifted me between earth and heaven. And brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations of the house of Israel cometh here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Behold, a hole in the wall. Then he said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said to me, go in. This is very compelling. Like, for seeing God, he answered all our questions, right? I mean, basically God answered all of life's questions, like the big stuff here. Like, that's what I'm looking for. Is this what you think would happen if you met God? Is this anywhere near what should happen? Dig now in a wall. He's having him dig in a wall for a door. And he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. This is God. You're all powerful. I'm here. You've called me here. This is what we're doing with our time. You're making me dig in a door for no reason. You can't just give me the door. You have to like dig in a wall for it. Don't know why. And then you have to show me a bunch of crap that I'm not interested in. Yeah, people are shit. I get it. Everyone's shit. Like, all the Jews are terrible. They're you know, idolatrous. They worship other gods. Yeah, I get it. How about we talk? How about we have a discussion, God? How about we get to the bottom of things? How about we talk about how you made the world, the earth, the universe, rather? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. I don't care about these Jews worshiping other gods. What, come on. Level with me, God. Let's talk about some interesting things. Let's talk about philosophy. Talking philosophy with God. That sounds fun. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them Jezaniah the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. And then he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery, for they say, The Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations, even greater than women weeping for Tammuz. What, on a scale of one to abomination, what is women weeping for Tammuz? Is that some reference to something I don't get? Then he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? And I said, And he brought me to the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshipped the sun toward the east. I'm guessing that's bad, I don't know. Then he said to me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, and have returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet I will not hear them. Final chapter, Ezekiel 9. He cried also in mine ears in a loud voice, saying, Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, 6 came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was, and to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, Go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man whom is the mark. Begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, Defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. That's nice of them. And it came to pass, while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then he said unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, The Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. But I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. All right, that's the end. Man, I'm like losing my voice. It's probably from all the just wonderful reading. Thank you for joining me for another terrible episode of Thomas and the Terrible Bible. I really appreciate my patrons. I want to thank them immensely. And please join the feeble ranks. No, join those who are currently patronizing me, and patronize me at patreon.com/tnthb. Help me get through this mess. And I will see you guys for another episode. Adios.